We've been looking at the subject of healing. Healing belongs to us. We're going to continue tonight looking at God's word. And we've established the spirit-giving prayer that we saw in Philemon in Philemon in verse 6. And says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. That the communication of your faith may become what? Effectual. You ought to be able to stop a preacher from saying nonsense when he's quoting the wrong thing. That the communication of your faith may become what? Effectual. By the what? Acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. When we say healing belongs to us, we're looking at the authority of scriptures to see, is healing the redemption? Is it something that belongs to us? In what sense does it belong to us? What can we expect? How do we walk in the reality of that which belongs to us? Now, we establish the fact that there are areas that our faith may not necessarily be effective or effectual until we learn to acknowledge. And so that word acknowledge doesn't just mean you pay lip service. It actually means you have a comprehension. You have details. You have facts. Facts that support your faith. Fact that brings about expectation in a particular area. So the Bible says the communication of our faith becomes effectual. The way our faith participates in the things that belong to us in Christ is that we learn to acknowledge. We are abreast of the facts. We learn to comprehend every good thing which is in us in Christ Jesus. So we said that your faith may be working in the area of protection, for instance, and it doesn't mean that it automatically works in the area of healing. In any area where you notice that your faith seems to be effective, it's not because you have super faith in that area. It simply means that you have acknowledged more in that particular area. So when we teach the word of God, it's to give us something to acknowledge. We're presenting facts, we're looking at scriptures, we're looking at evidence, the testimony of God, so we can have facts to acknowledge. So Third John verse 2. It says, and I read, belong thy wish above all things, that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Let me read that again. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. I want you to notice that this is an apostolic prayer. When we say apostolic prayer, we're seeing instructions given by the Spirit of God to the apostles. The same way we have the Pauline prayers, okay? We have a prayer here given by the Apostle Peter, and that prayer is important. He says, the one I wish there actually is stronger than just wishing. Is equivalent of I pray. So this is something earnestly prayed for. This is something that just goes beyond casual desire. This is something that's backed up by the will of God. So it is safe for a believer to say today that healing is God's will for me. Remember that this is not just the apostle expressing a wishful thought. This is the apostle expressing the mind of Christ. So when he says I wish above all things, it's like saying I put as utmost priority in a place of prayer you being in health. That word being there means you abide in a state of well-being. So that's even beyond healing. You abide in a state of well-being. That you be in health even as your soul prospers. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So as we looked at the scriptures the last 2 weeks or so, and we found scriptures in the Gospels, we saw something that was unique in the Gospels about the fact that one of the ways God advertises himself, a major aspect of Jesus' ministry, was healing. We saw that after resurrection also, healing is still a major way that we can point at the resurrection of Jesus. We saw in the Old Testament, we saw Exodus chapter 15 verse 26, where God introduced himself to the Israelites as, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And we saw from the scriptures there that that word, that phrase, I'm Lord that healeth thee, was referring to much more than just receiving healing. He was actually saying, I'm the one who immunizes you against sickness. He said, I will not put none of these diseases. We went to town over that last week. I mean, that was remember what we looked at last week. So we discovered that the phraseology in the King James language is in a permissive tense. How many of you remember that? There's causing, there's permissive. So the way it's written is as though I put sickness upon the Egyptians and I will not put those sickness upon you. But you see, if that was what he said, then it would have been contravening the next statement that finished. Look at that, Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. It's important for us to have that in mind. Exodus 15, verse 26. It says, and he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, we'll do that which is right in his sight, we'll give thee his commandments and keep all the statutes, I will put none. That's the way it's written in the King James. So, but here it's written in a permissive tense, but they wrote it in a causative tense. So, I will put none here. It looks as though God is the one who actively puts disease upon them. In other words, if you're reading King James, you assume that it was one who put disease upon the nation of upon the Egyptians. But look at what it says. It says, I will put none of these upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that what? Healeth thee. So if I'm the Lord that healeth thee, and we explain that word healing there doesn't just mean that he removes sickness from you, it actually means he prevents you from getting sick. It's not much more than you're sick, then he takes sickness away. He actually also means I'm the one who immunizes you against sickness. So that last sentence will be contradictory to the two statements uttered before, if you don't look at it in the light of how it's written in the original text. In the original text, what he actually says is that I will not allow any of these diseases upon thee, which I allowed to come upon the Egyptians. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Hallelujah. So the word there is allow. It's a permissive tense, not a causative tense. And you know they were warned. So the sense to me that is written is that God is the one who is in charge of keeping people sickness free. If he's keeping people sickness free, and that is his job description, he can at the same time be the one distributing sickness. Hallelujah. See, in Christ, there's no sickness, there's no disease. In Christ, there's healing and there's wholeness. Hallelujah. It's so important that we establish that. So important that we establish that. So last week we saw, in the scriptures, we saw Matthew chapter 15. And we saw that woman, the Syrophoenician woman that came to Jesus. And we noticed that one of the things that Jesus said to the woman when she was asking for the healing of her daughter, Jesus told her that healing is a children's bread. Okay, if you look at Matthew chapter 15, and if you read that, look verse 26, it says, but he answered and said, it is not meat, it is not right to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. We said from that last week. Hallelujah. So Jesus actually said that healing is the children's bread. So in light of that, are you a son? Are you born of God? The Bible says, to as many as received him, to them give you power to become what? The sons of God. Okay. Romans chapter 8 verse 14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we are sons of God, we are children of God. That means that healing is our bread. So in that single statement, Jesus is saying what belongs to the children naturally is health. That's what Jesus is saying. So it's not the right to give what is our portion prepared for the children and hand it over to dogs. We are not children. That's what Jesus was saying. So in Jesus' statement we see another light. And that's the fact that healing is something that naturally belongs to you. It's not something you are begging God for. It's not even something you are trying to claim. It's something that you almost subconsciously walk in once you have the revelation of the fact that this belongs to me. Hallelujah. See, healing belongs to me. Wholeness belongs to me. I walk in sound health all my days. These I've received of my Father in Christ Jesus. It's so important because, again, like I said, symptoms and challenges that are contrary to God's word can make you a victim if you are not grounded in the scriptures. In other words, you are hoping that God will heal you. You have departed from the truth. You are wishing God will heal you. You are departed from the truth. It means you are allowing the symptoms and the condition to dictate the reality that belongs to you. But the Bible says, Jesus said, healing is the children's bread. That means healing naturally belongs to everyone who is in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. It belongs to everyone who is in Christ Jesus. And last week we saw different scriptures. We have received the spirit of adoption whereby we call God Father, Father. So we know that we're children of God. If we're sons, then we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Romans 8:17. We saw all that last week. I just deliberately went over it again so that we will establish the fact that what Jesus said is very important for us, which is Jesus walked the heart sickness free. It wasn't because he was without sin. It was because he walked in the consciousness of the fact that healing is a children's bread. So health is children's bread. Then I want to call our attention to something also about the fact that, look at John chapter 1. You have the same God that healed them in the Old Testament, the same God that kept sickness and disease away from them in the Old Testament, when he's now manifest in the flesh, what will he do? Because the Bible says of Jesus, John chapter 1 and verse 14. See what the Bible says. And the Word, say the Word, was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now we beheld what? His glory. The glory as one, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Look at verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace which is truth came by who? Jesus Christ. Now, in that those two verses, he just told you that the Son of the Word, when the Word became flesh, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life is what? The light of men. And the Word became flesh, and did what? Dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. Sorry, I'm reading fast. I want to connect some thoughts for us to see. Verse 7 now says, for the law came by Moses. And you notice that when the law came by Moses, what happened? People started dying. But grace, which is truth, or grace and truth, came by who? By Jesus Christ. So if the Word became flesh, and we saw the visible manifestation of the invisible God, the worshipper in the Old Testament, and the first thing, besides preaching, that the Bible mentions concerning him, was that he went around healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That means that healing is God's signature manifestation. Let me say that again. The Word became flesh, and one of the most distinct aspects of his ministry was that he went about healing. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of what? Nazareth. With what? The Holy Ghost and with power. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So when the Word became flesh, and the beginning, the Word was in the beginning, and that same Word was God. And when the Word became flesh, which is he manifested in the senses, that same Word in human form, the major way in which he expressed God's glory was in healing the sick. So it's safe to say that you can't separate God and healing. Healing is in everything that God does. Hallelujah. Healing is in everything that God does. That's why, even till now, when Jesus walked on the shores of Galilee, his name healed. His words healed. His garments healed. His hands healed. What does that tell you? Everything about him is full of healing and health. It's important that we will. It's so important. Because the manifestation of God's healing power through Christ wasn't just one of the things that Jesus did. His ministry, we saw it summarized. Look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. We saw Jesus' ministry summarized. Matthew 4, 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, number one, teaching their synagogues, number two, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, number three, and healing all manner of what? Sickness, and all manner of what? Disease among the people. Did you see that? That's what it is. So you could say that the ministry of Jesus comprised of three things: teaching, and healing. So you can't take healing away from the ministry of Jesus. Everything he did spoke about healing. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth, or grace which is truth, came by Jesus Christ. And in manifesting grace and truth, we saw Jesus healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Everyone that was sick, even his garments healed. So healing is God's will for every single believer. Healing is in God's redemptive plan for every single believer. Hallelujah. That's why the New Testament majors on you and I praying. We are like children who have been given a package. Growth and maturity in a child is how well a child learns to use what has been given. What has been given, you know, for instance, in the natural world, you can buy a gift for a child that the child will have to grow in understanding of. In other words, the child is growing in appreciation and understanding of that gift, but the gift has been given even before the understanding came. So what the child needs to have as the child grows on fact, how do you measure the child is growing? The child increases in understanding. So when you understand more, you are growing. When you're growing, you are able to now use what has always belonged to you. Dr. Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers that ever lived, shared a particular story about a woman, an old woman who had suffered, particularly in her later years. She had served a particular household all her years until she was in her 50s when she was retired, and you know, the people she served and worked for like these were now late. And so, you know, somebody discovered her dying out of malnutrition in the house where she was living. You know, and they called in doctors and they quickly tried to attend to her and everything like that. So, you know, why didn't you go for treatment or medical intervention? I didn't have any money and I run out of funds and everything like that. So, one of the doctors who came to see her at home in the house where she was laid on the bed happened to see a plaque hanging on the wall where she hung it. And the man looked at it, understood what it was, and said, "Do you mind? Do you know what this is?" He said, "Well, that was the farewell gift that the owner of the household I worked gave me before he passed on. And I've hung it on the wall ever since. I'm a proud recipient of their commendation for several years of service." So the man said, "Okay, do you mind if I take this document to the lawyers to just evaluate it, that it's actually a legal document?" But she thought it was a commendation note to commend her for years of service. By the time they took it to the lawyers and they discovered that they had been looking for her because she was a proud inheritor of all their estates. She had more than enough money for years and she was suffering for years. Now that sounds like the story of the believer who doesn't have knowledge. We are giving so much but we use so little. We use so little because we already know so little. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have the testimony of scriptures to let us see something about God's character. If he healed in the Old Testament, when he manifested in the flesh, he still went about healing. The difference was this, because when Jesus came, he didn't come according to the law. He came to reveal the grace of God. He healed all that were sick. All that were sick means that he didn't call the sins of men to question. He simply manifested the character of God. In other words, God's character of goodness manifests despite the sins of men. Hallelujah. It means the sins of men does not stop God from manifesting his nature and his character. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, verse 1 to 3 now says, "God who has sundry times in diverse manners speak in time past to the fathers by the prophets, as in this last day spoken to us by his Son, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person." So Jesus is the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person. And God has spoken to us in these last days by his Son. In other words, the Son himself is a message. So whatever you see Jesus doing, both on the shores of Galilee in the four Gospels and what he's doing now in the epistles, healing is written all over it. You cannot separate God and healing. Healing is a major trademark of the Father. Hallelujah. So both pre-resurrection and post-resurrection, we see God's healing power testified of, greatly manifested, all through scriptures. Then I accept chapter 10 verse 13 that we read. Notice what it says. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost with power, who went about doing what? Good. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil. In that verse alone, it tells you sickness is demonic oppression. Sickness is what? Demonic oppression. Now look at 1 John 3:8. Epistle now of John. 1 John 3:8. "He that committed sins of the devil, for the devil does what? Sin it from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that might what? Destroy the works of the devil." Contextually, he's talking about destroying sin. But in line with destroying sin, he also destroyed anything that has to do with the works of the devil. And part of that work was what? Sickness and disease. Luke chapter 13. Let's look at the story. By looking at this testimonies to gather facts. Keep that in mind in that Acts chapter 10 verse 8 that we just read. Are you in Luke chapter 13? Let me read from Luke 13 verse 11. Let's read from verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bound together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called out to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. And he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Verse 14, and the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to walk, in them therefore come and be healed, and not. Religion is horrible. Can you imagine? What does the Sabbath day represent? The day of God's rest. What is God's rest? What does it symbolize? Men free from their own struggles. Which is the best day to receive healing? Oh Lord. Can you imagine? He said there are 6 days when the man can come to be healed. And the 6 days he mentioned are 6 days of man's struggle. The only day that doesn't involve struggle, God's rest. Where men can just not do anything, just receive everything, and they are countering him. Can you imagine? See, okay, so see what it says. Verse 15. The Lord then answered and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath lose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to the watering? And ought not this woman, listen carefully, being a daughter of Abraham, that means by faith. Now it says, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day. Glory to God. Now, Jesus was speaking figuratively. When Jesus said, ought not this woman, whom Satan has bound, or who for the 6 days of man's struggle has been under Satan's dominion, be loosed on the day of God's salvation. Sabbath day is the day of God's salvation. See, I'm in Sabbath right now. I'm enjoying God's rest right now. Hallelujah. It ought not this woman be loosed on the Sabbath. And Jesus, our Sabbath day was standing in front of her. They were observing a particular day of the week, but the Sabbath that they were waiting for was in front of them to dispense healing and health. And they were still counting natural days. Can you see what I mean? But he said, ought not this woman whom Satan has bound. Did you see that? So if you look at that in the light of Acts 10:38, you see what he's saying. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So Jesus here is telling us Satan is in charge of sickness. God is in charge of health. Glory to God. So sickness will never be a way God judges or God punishes or God corrects any of his children. That has to be in your subconsciousness. I was telling us last week about a lady who was praying and she was telling her, I don't know why God won't heal me. I said, you just blasphemed. That statement, you just blasphemed. You don't know why God will not heal. I said, so you're a special case. God just said, I'm going to single you out. He made healing available in Christ, and he was so good at doing it that even though you are in Christ, he managed to separate you. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Managed to separate you. It's like you being inside this room. We now design a special way that AC will not get to you. You know, we spend more money because we have to design it such a way that AC will not, and you are here. Once you are here, AC will get to you. But the AC, you are now here. We now decided to make a special equipment or device that will keep the AC away from only you. You know, that is a special level of wickedness. So when a believer says, I don't know why God will not heal me, you just said that though you are in Christ, God is hindering his life-saving power from manifesting in your life. It's a statement of ignorance. It shows you don't understand what it means to be in Christ. So Jesus said, ought not this woman be loosed from my infirmity? Clearly stating that sickness is Satan's work. Healing is how God goes about doing it. Then last week we saw that blind man from the womb in John chapter 9. We saw also that Jesus referred to what that man was experiencing as the works of the devil. I must walk the works of him that sent me. I must walk the works of him that sent me. And Jesus healed that man to show Father's works. John chapter 9. Look at John chapter 9. And the way you are looking at me shows that you don't know what I'm talking about. John chapter 9. You know, a pastor has to learn to repeat some things so that it will stick. John chapter 9. We saw that last week. Are you there? Verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither had this man seen nor his parents, but that the works of God should be what? Made manifest in him. I must walk the works of him that sent me, while it's day and night cometh, when no man can walk. As long as I'm in the world, I am what? The light of the world. So we examine that scripture as the fact that Jesus in sin, notice Jesus said, neither has this man seen nor experienced. And that was, this man was in that physical condition because of the transgression of Adam. That's what it means. And it's very funny, the question they asked Jesus, how can a man sin from his mother's womb? They told you somebody is blind from birth, and you are asking, is this man that has sinned or experienced? And that's what religion teaches. Something is wrong. You must have acted wrong. So you did something bad. Why are you this way? They always look for a reason when they can't find. You see, is this the man or experience? That even talk about the man. Somebody is blind from birth. He's seen the, that means he must have seen the womb. I mean, religion takes away common sense. So look at what Jesus said. Neither has this man seen nor experienced, but that the works of God should be what? Made manifest. If you read that, and you don't read contextually, you think he's saying, the man is sick so that the work of God can be manifest, which means sickness is the work of God. But Jesus is saying, after he told them, neither has this man seen nor experienced, but now that the works of God may be made manifest, I must walk the works of him that what? Sent me. In other words, the way God's word is made manifest is that this man must be healed. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? This man must be one healed. That is the way God's work is made manifest. That's what Jesus is saying. So every single passage where we find Jesus healing the sick, we notice something. The works of the devil are being destroyed. We notice also something, that everyone who was healed in the Gospels were all sinners. But something interesting also happened. In case you are thinking, the Jesus that walked the shores of Galilee majored on healing, the one that rose from there doesn't major. Even in Acts of Apostles, the only difference was that he was not healing through men, but the same sign was following them. Look at Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. We're going to read quickly. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they had laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered in the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked and alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave it unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Now Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Do what? Rise up and walk. Notice that until this situation took place, no man had ever been able to say, such as I have. Such as I have there means that that which I possess, such as I can distribute at will, I give you. Did you see that? Such as I have. There was no guesswork. He wasn't opening to work. Peter said, such as I have, I give thee in the name. What did he have? The name. The right to use the name. He stood in the authority of the name. The name belonged to him. Hallelujah. Such I have, give I thee. Verse 7. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Then let's jump all the way to verse 16. Here they began to defend what they did. Or let me read from verse 12, please. Verse 11. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. When Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, you men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look you so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in presence of Pilate, where was damaged to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired the murderer to be granted unto him, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof were what witnesses? And his name, true faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Here, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you. Hallelujah. In other words, Jesus is risen, and men getting healed are tied together. God has glorified his son. How? People are still getting healed still today in that same name. So the same Jesus that healed and delivered the sick and raised the dead, that same Jesus in his office as the exalted one is still healing the sick only through men. Hallelujah. So we see that even post-resurrection, healing was still a stated fact. Healing was still a sign. Mark chapter 16. I want you to pay attention because I'm all giving us instructions and proof from the scriptures, something that we have the right to stand on. Okay? Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye where? To all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. For he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. When was Jesus giving instruction? Before the cross or after the cross? 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 Who believes it's before? Let me see your hand. Is he after the cross? If it is after the cross, let me see your hand. After means after he rose from the dead. Maybe when I use before the cross, that's what confused. When you hear the word cross, the cross, but like using the epistles, is a figure of speech. It simply means before Jesus' crucifixion. Okay. It stands for the sacrifice of Jesus. That's what the cross means. So this instruction was given after he rose. So Jesus is speaking in the light of his resurrection. What is available in light of his resurrection? It says, verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe, all the believing ones, in my name. Shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues. Verse 18, they shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the one, and they shall. So notice that post resurrection also, healing the sick is part of it. In other words, even after the resurrection of Jesus, healing is still a major part of a believer's ministry. Say amen. Hallelujah. And as we begin to examine chapters in Acts, we just saw Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 14, several cases of healing. The same God still doing wonders, the same name still manifesting his gospel. Hallelujah. Healing is in everything that God does. I heard this statement from a servant of God, and I meditated upon it, and I understood what he said, that divine healing is God's unconditional response to sickness and disease. Divine healing is God's unconditional response to sickness and disease. Unconditional means that he's not going to find fault. That is what God administers whenever he sees sickness. Divine healing is God's unconditional response to sickness and disease. Glory to God. So healing is in every scripture that you can find. God's healing nature is demonstrated through the Gospels, demonstrated through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, demonstrated through the apostles, demonstrated even through every single believer. God's healing power. Glory to God. So you understand John's prayer when he says, I pray above all things that you prosper and be in hell. You abide in hell. Why? It's part and parcel of what belongs to us in Christ. Glory to God. But then many times, sometimes we may need to go through a process to enjoy manifestation in certain cases. Not in all cases, in certain cases sometimes, because again, it is the degree to which you are able to acknowledge the good things, the reality of the fact that in redemption, this belongs to me. I am meant to enjoy this. I am meant to walk in the nature of this. Galatians 3:13 says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made one, a curse for us was written. Curse is every man that hangeth on a tree. At the promise of Abraham may come upon the Gentiles. Hallelujah. All right. Proverbs chapter 4 now. We'll come back to that line later. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, I'm going to start reading from verse 20 to 22. If you're there, say amen. Okay. It says, my son, attend to my words. Now, when you're reading the book of Proverbs, understand that Solomon is operating majorly in this book as a prophet. It means he's acting under inspiration. So when he says my son, many times he's not just talking about any of the sons he has biologically speaking. He's speaking prophetically. So when he says, my son, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thy eyes, keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and what? Health to all their flesh. So in verse 20, we have an instruction. In verse 21, we have an instruction. In verse 22, we have the outcome of you and I acting on instruction. So verse 22 is not an instruction. Verse 22 is the outcome of you acting on what? The instruction. So let's read verse 20 again. It says, my son, attend to my words. It now says, incline thy ear unto my sayings. You will think he's talking about the same thing. Yes, I know. He's talking about the same thing, because what is common to both instructions is the word. But notice the first is attend to my words. That word attend means give priority to my words. It's like me coming at a social function and pointing at the table where, let's say, some individuals are sitting, and now says, I call the attention of waiter and I says, attend to these people. What was the waiter doing before? Attending to some other people. So when I said attend to these people, you have to leave whatever you were attending to before and give priority to this. When it says attend to my words, it means prioritize my word. Attend to my words. It's talking about the written word. Attend to my words. Which means you have to give priority to it. It means you have to give due attention to it. Attend to my words. It's not something you do casually. He's giving instructions. The end of that instruction is that he wants healing to manifest. So he says, my son, attend to my words. The next one says, incline thine ear to my sayings. Hallelujah. It's a process. It's teaching a concept about how healing manifests. That's basically what he's about to teach. He says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them where? In the midst of their heart. Remember that any instruction that you find in the scriptures that God gives to you is an instruction you can obey. He will never ask you to do what you can do. Let me put it this way. My son, attend to my words is simply saying you prioritize my word, because at any point in time, you are prioritizing something. So he's giving a rule, a principle. It's not just a spiritual principle. It's a rule that most of us apply in many areas of life. You are even applying it unconsciously. So he's now saying the same way you give attention or priority to something that you feel is important to you, and because it's important to you, you are seeing certain results in that area. He now says, learn to prioritize my word. Which is, take my word, read it. Notice this, don't let it depart from your eyes. You take the word of God, you read it concerning healing. And he's not just talking about somebody who is sick here. He's even talking about how you stay free of sickness. He's telling you it's not just accidental. Let me read it another way. If God wants me well, and God has made provision for me to be well, he's now giving me instruction about the fact that what comes through my eye gate and my ear gate that will automatically affect my mouth and what I say is what controls or determines whatever I see manifested in my life. That's what he's saying. It's teaching a principle. We're just applying it to healing. Because if you read verse 23, it now says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it. So whatever it's talking about is something telling you, how do things enter a man's heart? Or how do things come out of a man's heart? That's what it's teaching. It says, my son, attend to my words. That also means that the word of God is not something you learn accidentally or you pay attention to by mistake. It has to be deliberate. Incline your ear to my sayings. That means don't just read it. Make sure you are hearing it. Hallelujah. You may have a different opinion. I personally believe that one of the benefits of a smartphone is that you can put messages on it. I know you think that so you can listen to music. That's you. And music is good for the soul. Amen. But music doesn't guarantee health. Have you noticed? No. Everybody likes music. Music is easy on the ears. You don't need to try to pay attention. You'll be paying attention unconsciously. But when it comes to God's word, he now says, Do you want health to spring forth? You see, there's a step-by-step process. Prioritize means that, that means you may need to leave some other things in order to give priority to this one. It means it has to be a deliberate choice. You can't be trusting God for something that he has done in his word, and you are giving priority to some other things even much more. It's not going to work that way. And nature abhors vacuum. That means that at any point in time, you need to understand you are giving attention to something, only it may be subconscious. Is that telling you you can do this thing deliberately? You can't do it deliberately. Look at it this way. Jesus saw a fig tree afar off, having leaves. The disciples were with Jesus. They didn't see what Jesus saw. So when Jesus got to the fig tree and spoke, they didn't understand what Jesus was doing. Because the Bible says, and he answered the fig tree. The question is, when did the fig tree speak to Jesus? He answered the fig tree. That's what the Bible says. So disciples were surprised. Ah, so Jesus, you can be angry like this? Just cause the fig tree like that. But the Bible says he saw the fig tree afar off, having leaves. And he came happily, if he might find any food, and finding none. For the time of the figs was not yet. And that passage has been seriously misunderstood by people. Hey, should be the time of figs, not yet. Should be Jesus knows that's the time of figs. So why did he cause? But you've forgotten that small detail. He saw the fig tree afar off, having leaves. Why did the fig tree have leaves if the time of figs was not yet? In other words, the fig tree is figurative of deception. You only have leaves when you are bringing forth fruit. So to have leaves means you are advertising something that when we come close, you will not go, you don't have. Do you understand? That was the religious system of Israel. It promises salvation but can't save anyone. So when Jesus was causing the fig tree, figurative was causing that religious system. When he says, no man shall eat of thee, think about it. He can't be talking about fig tree. He was talking about the system the fig tree represented. Why was he saying no man shall eat? Because the tree of life had now come that men were able to eat from, which was Jesus. If you understand what I'm saying. So it wasn't just that Jesus was so hungry when he just go and say, I'm even looking for you. You can't even give me food. And I'm Lord and Master. Oh yeah, be cursed. How does it make sense? It's figurative. But the Bible says that the fig tree must have spoken because Jesus answered. The Bible now says, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Because you will find situations that will speak to you. And you will not know what to say back if you don't have God's word dwelling inside of you abundantly. So to attend to my word simply means that you have to consciously shift your focus from other things in order to listen. You will not believe in God's miracle power if you keep hearing negative news of people's experiences. You will not. Think about it. If I stand in front of you for 1.5 hours and I'm sharing testimonies of how people have been healed, by the time you are going home, your level of hope will be high as to how God will heal you. Think about it. The same principle as the principle David used when he stood before Goliath. Think about it. Why didn't David was saying what he said? There was nobody around David that believed David could do it. That means nobody was ready to encourage. So there was no external source of motivation or hope. So David had to look for it and bring it out of himself. Nobody gave it him. And the one he gave, he brought out, now encouraged the other people who were discouraged. When he said, I will go. Saul was like, we have soldiers here who have been trained from their youth. Goliath has been a soldier from his youth. You are just even a boy. You have never seen war before. You cannot defeat him. That's the voice of reason, the voice of the senses. But the voice of the spirit, the voice of faith, David said that, I was my father's sheep. And a lion came and a bear came. Do you understand what David was doing? So if I stand before you and regale you with testimonies of healing, what will happen to your faith? It will become strong. Why? Because of what you are hearing. So whatever I pay attention to part time automatically dominates my thinking. That's what the spirit said. So he said, my son, attend to my words. Which words? In the area in which you are believing for manifestation, in the area of healing, if I keep going over, I keep quoting, I keep declaring, I keep looking, I keep reading our scriptures that reinforce my conviction in God's healing power. And he says, Incline your ear. That word incline is also not passive, it's active. That means I will have to pull my ears away from certain things in order to hear the right things. Like I said, in days of social media, I've been browsing through social media before, and some news will just catch your attention. But the news is just looking for whose attention to catch. I think he's on Facebook or so. I saw this. There's something about Oprah news or something like that. And he's always negative. There's also a picture that if you like gossip, you quickly click. You have not seen those adverts before. One woman killed so and so. Click for full gist. You two are now click. What do you want me for? Full gist. And they're about to sell you something evil. That means you have to pull your ears away and your eyes away in order for God's word to make sense. Because God's word will not entertain you, it will release life through you. My son, attend to my words, incline your ear, both are deliberate. Don't let them depart from your eyes, means don't stop seeing it. Keep them in the midst of your heart, is your meditation now. Look at verse 22. Look at verse 22. For their life unto those that want, find them, and health to that one. Health is the word medicine. It's medicine to all their flesh. It's actually telling you the process by which you convert God's power contained in the written word, contained in the spoken word, to a place where it becomes physically manifest in the body. And it says through the eye gate, through the ear gate, through the heart, it becomes power that's manifested in the flesh, and there's no condition it cannot reverse. They brought a man to a meeting that Dr. Kenigan was holding back in the 50s, and in those meetings, the first week he would teach, second week he would teach, the third week he would have taught to the point where people's faith would have, he would now start ministering healing. He usually ministers healing on Tuesdays and Thursday nights, those two nights. So he said, this particular man, they gave him only 3 months to live. His heart was in a bad condition. He was a rich businessman, but his heart, so he decided to pay attention to God's word. He came for that meeting. And after Dr. Enigin thought and thought and thought, he now called out for those who wanted to be well. The wife now said that, we brought you here, on a stretcher. Won't you go out? And said, no, I don't need to go out. So what do you mean? So didn't you hear what the man said? So what did he say? Saying, I believe that according to what he has said, I'm healed. I know what he's saying. I understand what he's saying. I'm healed. And that was how the man was healed. Just by hearing and paying attention to God's word. It means there was a place in his heart that required persuasion. When the word entered, he adjusted it and the power flowed. Let me put it this way. What you're hearing, listen carefully to what I'm about to say. And maybe if time permits, in this teaching will go through different ways in which healing power can be administered. But for a believer, listen carefully, the power is already within. Your thinking adjusts the valve to either closed or open. Let me say that again. For a believer, power is not going to come. When we lay hands on you, we are administering power to you directly because you are not receiving by your own faith, consciously. So, through somebody else who is a channel for God's power, you can receive. That's a valid method. But now, in every single believer, the Bible speaks about exceeding greatness of God's power that's within your heart. That the teaching of God's word just simply helps you adjust your will. And your will now allows the power to flow because you agree with the word. If you understand what I'm saying. So when he says, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them where? In the midst of your heart. That's where your will is. That's where your emotions are. That's where decisions are made for or against the things of God. It now says, they are alive unto those that find them. That word find simply means there's a discovery that took place. When does discovery take place? In the heart. In the heart, there's a consent. There's a yes. Oh, I see it now. The day you say you see it, the power flows. But the power has always been there. Hallelujah. So the power that keeps me whole, that keeps me strong, that keeps me well, is not coming from heaven. It is in me, in Christ Jesus. That same power that raised Christ from the dead, the same power that will resurrect every saint from the dead, that same power is alive and at work in me today. Glory to God. Think about it. When Christ comes, and you know the Bible says he is our life. When Christ who is alive shall appear, then shall you appear. So there is no appearing of him without appearing of us. So when he appears, he's not doing anything extra. It's the same power, the same life that's within us that's activated. That's all. Hallelujah. And some of you are thinking that the resurrected body will just come from heaven. It's in the heavenlies, but it's not in the heaven. The power that will revitalize your body, according to Romans 8:11, is already where? In your spirit man now. It's a time release power. Let me put it that way. When Jesus appears, that's time for the release. The power will reconfigure your DNA and change your body to be like on his own glorious body. That's what will happen. So when Paul says that we are waiting to be delivered of God with our body which is from heaven, figure of speech. So I think he's going to come down. He's not coming down, he's already from heaven. Simply means in the heavenlies or in the spirit realm, which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Now imagine the power that raised Christ from them is inside of you now. The word of God adjusts one part, adjusts your will. The power flows. That's why people can be healed by just listening to God's word. Chapter 6, I think verse 17 now says that the people came to hear and to be healed of their diseases. And it's very obvious that people had, because from what some people had, they acted upon it and the healing power of God flowed. So the healing power of God follows certain laws, and this is one of the major laws that any single believer can practice. What's that law? My son, attend. It means inside his word there is healing. Psalm 107 verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. What was their destruction? The works of the devil. He sent his word and healed them. John chapter 1 tells us that word is a person, because that word became flesh. But he sent his word and healed them. If you understand what that scripture means, you realize that you can be reading Psalm 21 and be well, because anything God says is full of healing power. Anything he says is full of healing power. You can be reading Psalm 23 and be well. Anything God says is full of healing power. He sent his word and healed them. He didn't say he sent healing word. He sent his word. And his word was a vehicle of healing. So anything God does carries his life, his signature. Anything he says or he does carries healing power. That's what it means. Glory to God. Now, Kenny again spoke about a particular case of a woman who had a health condition, and when she came out to be healed, he prayed and laid hands upon her, power God hit her and he fell down. She came out to be healed of a particular condition that had to do with her uterus, and she was instantly healed. How did she know she was healed? She went back to the doctors that diagnosed, I think it was cancer. Then something else happened. When she got back there, the doctor told her, if you don't want any more children, you may have to do something. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, medical report shows that we took out your womb, also your reproductive, what do you call it now? Your reproductive, what do you call it? System. But it's back in there now. I don't know if you get what I said. The power that healed her replaced what the doctors removed. And he told her, if you don't want to, you have to do something now. Prevent it. That means she got double. In a meeting where the glory of God was manifest also, there was a woman who had had an operation on her throat, and you could see a tube sticking out of her nose where they were filling her fluid. She couldn't eat because they made a mistake when they were operating and they sniped her esophagus. And she had 11 incisions on that esophagus. Different operation they tried to use correct, but it was never corrected. But as power God was flowing, God's servant announced, you don't need anybody to lay hands upon you. God's healing power, which is a demonstration of his nature, is at work now. Just reach out. And she just, you know, when you say reach out, it's a regular speech. Because the power, you can't see it. Okay? Just reach out and receive now. And she just did like this. I thought you are touching the power physically. And when she died down, she just pulled the tube out of her nose. And that was the end of it. I can, from now till tomorrow morning, tell you one after the other about God's healing power. Why? It is in God's very nature. He is not even God if he can't heal. Because part of healing means he is undoing the works of the devil. What are the works of the devil? What Adam allowed to his transgression. What was never part of God's original plan. Hallelujah. So God manifesting healing, simply manifesting, is not necessarily doing an extra thing for you. He's simply doing what he has always been. That inside God, there is no disease. Maybe I'll explain that word one of these. Disease is two words. Disease. Or absence of ease. That's what sickness is. Hallelujah. In God, there's only one wholeness. So wherever God goes, wholeness is going. There. That's what it means. If God steps on the scene, wholeness has come. In God, there's no disease or lack of harmony. That's what disease means. It's lack of harmony in the body. That's what the Bible, that's what it's called disease. Whatever God does, in only does, you see healing written categorically and manifested through all that God does. So you have to be a deliberate recipient. It means that sometimes we need to write scriptures on a piece of paper that you're reading. You put it in your pocket. Every now and then you remove it, you look at it again. Himself took my infirmities, I bore my sicknesses. You go about your activities later on, you bring it out. I look, why? You are attending to God's word. It's deliberate. You don't leave it as a casual thing. Bible says that they are life unto those that find them. So it's not life except you have found it. It is in finding that you discover. For you it's life. And medicine to all your, that means restoration to all your flesh. No matter what they say is wrong. It doesn't matter what name they call it. It's medicine to all your flesh. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it's deliberate. The same way doctors tell you, it's amazing how much faith we have in doctors. Take this 3 times a day. If you miss a single dose, you start again. Have you heard that before? But when it comes to antibiotics, you are taking this for the next 5 or 7 days. You take it religiously. What does that mean? You fall asleep at night. It will, you wake up. What time is it? You know what you are doing? You believe in the doctor. The doctor is not there to monitor you. You just believe what he said. That if you miss it, and you have faith in the doctor, and the medication is giving you. A man went to visit his doctor. He complained about this. He said, doctor, just give me injection, I'll be fine. You don't need to say, just give me injection, I'll be fine. Sir, what you just, I said, just give me injection. So the doctor said, no problem, come. Give me injection. First time, say, come tomorrow. The next day. Third time, come tomorrow, give me the next day. How are you feeling? Ah, in fact, everything is fine now. Doctor, I sat him down. He didn't ask what was an injection, it was just water. You believe that once that thing enters your body, you'll be fine. Your mind is a problem. I've been giving you water. Nothing. It's just what I've been giving you. There's nothing. So I say, no. But I feel strong. Say, you will feel strong. Because you said to me that, just give me. That's what... So the mind of man is that powerful. That's why the word of God teaches us what to do to calibrate your mind. Attend to the word. Incline your ear. Don't let it depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, because you will find it. Hallelujah. And to be health to all your flesh. So take it like medicine. Ask yourself, have I taken my medicine this morning? And you're talking about God's word. Have you said it? That's how you take it. Have you declared it this morning? In the afternoon, check the time. It's 2 p.m. Have I taken this afternoon? At night, tell yourself, I'm going to bed now. Have I taken it? I wonder some people. You watched a horror film at 2:12. You now say, I don't even know why I'm having bad dreams. I don't know why we don't have. That you don't have is what is baffling me. How are you resisting the I mean, even Satan is like, I guess I have more. How are you stopping the bad dream? Because you have welcomed bad dream. By yourself. 2:12. Watch where they are doing some things that you are not supposed to watch. And I said, I don't even know why my dreams these days. Something that you program your mind for. Your mind will now replay it for you. in the night. When your body is comatose, you now repeat that. Ah, let us give you more facts. This movie continues now. It's not yet over. You now see masquerade jump your mother on the screen of your dream life. Because what you are watching. Why? You've given attention to the wrong things. But if what you have given attention to that, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. He shall cover me with feathers. Under his wing shall I trust. His truth shall be my shield and my buckler. Hallelujah. That's what is in your consciousness. That's what is in your consciousness. And you're declaring it. So that's what will replay. That's what filters out what is allowed in your heart. What's allowed to play out in your dream? The word of God. As he is, so am I. Even in this world. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I'm complete in him who is the head of all principalities and powers. He has forgiven me of all trespasses. Hallelujah. He has circumcised me by his very death. What you allow to stay is what you have been hearing. What you have been hearing is what you have been giving attention to. What you have been giving attention to is what you will find. It's a law. You are administering medicine by yourself. So in the morning, you take it. In the afternoon, you take it. In the night, you take it. What are you doing? You are taking medicine. The only difference is that Jesus is your doctor. As you take this. Don't be in a hurry. Don't be in a rush. Tell yourself, the last malaria I had is the last one I will have. How do you do that? Take your medicine. I don't believe in believing that you won't fall sick. I'm not taking anything. I take something. Be on drugs, the proper drugs. Hallelujah. Let God's word be the drug they are taking regularly. Be administering, be taking it. Hallelujah. All right, we'll stop here tonight.